We're ready.
Okay. Okay. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give him a big round of applause. Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. Hey, brother.
Hey, respect, brother. Can y'all hear me?
We can hear you. First of all, I want to say on behalf of all of us here in the great city of Muskegon, Michigan, thank you for joining us.
Right on. Well, first and foremost, the Revolutionary Appreciation for having me. My voice is a little gone, but my spirits are up. These are intense times, so you know I feel fortunate we even had the type of conversations and hopefully move forward with the work. You know what I'm saying? Because again, we got heightened contradictions. So I'm interested. I'm looking forward to, you know, y'all input, y'all criticism, y'all thoughts in regards to the movie, and any questions that you may have for me.
Well, we thought the movie was exceptional. We know that you served. I don't know why I'm looking that way. He sees me up that way. But we know that you served as a consultant on the movie. I just want to ask you, and then anybody who wants to ask him a question, if you would just come to the mic so that he can hear you. Otherwise, he can't hear you. And if you want me to, I can re-relay it, but we can save some time. If you want to ask a question, just come to the mic. The camera is centered here, so it'd be easier for you to come to me. I would like to ask you, when you watch the movie, Chairman Fred, what in the movie most affects you emotionally?
I don't know if I can limit it to a particular scene. I mean, mind you, I have not had the opportunity to sit back and watch it from like a viewer context. In other words, sit back, relax with a bag of popcorn, so on and so forth. It's been a long struggle watching it from a critical analysis. You know, everything down from the music to the credits, you know, and a political critique on it. But let me just throw out a couple of points that, first of all, in general, since just even with the release of the trailer, the ante has been up. The type of conversations that we're having, you know, acknowledging the terms such as COINTELPRO, assassinations, Chairman Fred, the Black Panther Party. So I'm inspired by that. It's been therapeutic. I gotta say also, because mind you, we have, in so many cases as revolutionaries, we have to do damage control about so much misinformation that's put out about, you know, in regards to revolutionaries, like, you know, just the we're devoid of, you know, relationships and the human dynamic about it, and also, you know, take initial struggle and still. A touchy spot with us is that, you know, from the narrative in which it's coming from, the agent of provocateur. But on the other hand, I gotta say this too, that these are some of the brutal realities and struggle that we have to acknowledge also, because in many cases people attempt to romanticize revolution, you know, the leather jackets, the berets, and, you know, everybody has a love for the people, but the reality is, you know, saying that there's you know, betrayal also, there's, you know, agent provocateurs, informants, but it should not imbalance the reality that, as Che Guevara said, that a revolutionary, no matter how preposterous it may sound, is guided by the most sincere sentiments of love. So day to day, it alters on what my, you know, what in particular. But off the top of my head right now, I'm gonna say this real quick. That scene, just even, you know,
which scene was that?
A couple of scenes, through the scene, just even with Chairman Fred and my mother, just their interaction, a couple of scenes, it showed it helps put in context that struggle is not like a 9-to-5. I'm just gonna do this, the struggle, then talk about my relationship, separate, you know, it's intertwined in our everyday lives, including that of our relationships. In fact, Chairman Fred used to say, the best dressed brother is one with a leather jacket and 45.
Good stuff. We got Tara. She has a question for you.
Hi. I apologize if I didn't do all my homework, but I'm trying to figure out, why did your mother wait until you were 10 years old to change your name?
Great question. I was coming about that the other day. Number of reasons. I don't know if you've seen the footage when she was doing an interview holding me as a child. That interview was done when she was underground on the run, because the grand jury was seeking out survivors, attending to have them come to court. This is some of and so I mean, this is our life. Like, you know, I mean, like, it's kind of like, I guess uncorrelated. Like, a lot of times, cats ask people in the streets, like, you know, how do you know this person's last name? And it's like, it's like a code. You know what I'm saying? You know, cats in the streets. And that's, I was in El Salvador, and what they refer to as the conflict, it was a situation where people would just get their family, their mothers and fathers was just coming together for the first time. And they, and people say, well, how did they didn't know, how did your mother didn't actually know the father's actually his real name? Why did they use these aliases? This was in response to so much infiltration, so much Asian provocateurs, you didn't know who was who. We cut from a cloth that I recall, you know, riding in an SUV years back. And a brother in the car with me come on saying, why do you keep looking back in the rearview mirror? Don't you have your license? I say, exactly. That's the reason why I'm keep looking back. Another reason why my name changed, ironically, I'm going to see if I can switch this camera around. One of the middle names with me was this individual's, I'll switch this camera around. I'm going to try to show you this picture of this individual. Right there. That individual right there, his name is Nathaniel. That was one of my middle names. It was later exposed of his relationship with William O'Neill. And she took a principal stance to go to
Hey, Fred, can you hear me? Chairman Fred?
Yes.
Okay, you got to stop moving because the internet's going in and out. Okay. Our signal's going in and out. So, we appreciate it. We appreciate it, but we'd rather hear you.
Yeah.
We got another question for you, brother. We got one of our leaders here in the community, Pastor Robinson.
Chairman Fred, due respect. All due respect. How much of, I would say, how much was passed down to you regarding the, I would say, affirmations that your father had were given by your mother? How much was passed down to help put the impetus to keep on in the struggle when you could have turned bitterness and just went all out?
Good question. It's difficult for me to quantify how much it was. There was so much like just you know, second nature. Like, you know, just even as a child, when, you know, simple things that when an ice cream truck comes down the street, I had to wait to make sure it was not a Good Humor ice cream truck, because to this day we do not patronize Good Humor. Because the role they were working in conjunction with the federal government when they framed Chairman Fred for the ice cream truck robbery. I recall about 12 years old when a proposition was brought to us to have a book that really highlighted the police, put them in a good light. And it was one of those cold winters in which our heat was cut off. And I recall asking, I said, well, if this happens, I guess he can get back, turn back on the house. And she took a principal stance, no go. These are certain war stories, Matt, what have you, that I recall that was not just, you know, subjugated to Black History Month or when it's you become a certain age, intertwined in my everyday, you know, upbringing, you know, the role of the police. So it's hard for me to quantify how much, you know, saying that she said directly to me, but it was like a way of life. I remember someone was on the phone one time. They said, "You call your mother comrade?" And, you know, it wasn't. I said, wow, I noticed it was an issue until someone else had said it. It's like second nature to us.
Thank you. And we've got Charles who would like to ask a question.
One question I do have is, what is one message you would want to relay to the youth to keep fighting for our quote-unquote justice in the community?
Self-determination. Right. Even if you make mistakes, let them be ours. You know what I'm saying? To fight on your own terms. It's a precious entity of self-determination.
Self-determination. Thank you. Little bro, you have a question?
Yeah. First, I want to say my condolences to you. I know you lost your father, you know, years ago, but, you know, some things still affect us. So first and foremost, my condolences. Secondly, kind of got like a two-part question. I know you all settled in court. I'm wondering if there was, pennies on the dollar. I'm wondering if there was ever an apology given on behalf of the or from the FBI or the U.S. government for their role played. And then secondly, towards the end of the movie, we saw that there was some questioning about leaving the country, which I know Asada Shakur, she left. A couple other members of the party left as well. So the second question is, you know, reflecting back on things, do you wish your father had left or the family would have left?
And he may be able to hear us.
The government took my father in a graphic way, but the deal is this is a system that attempts to take all of our fathers and mothers by either shooting them down, locking them up, stringing them out on drugs, or hanging them. One way or another, I respect and appreciate the commitment Principal Stanley Chairman Fred took. In fact, we say, you know, I learned lessons from his legend on what a man was supposed to be. If you're subjectively speaking, like, oh, you wish, you know, my father's here, but that commitment, that position, that Chairman Fred took. I respect it, you know, and we attempt to walk not in his footsteps, but the path of Paul steps. And, you know, and I told leadership one street organization in Chicago one time. He had said something to the effect that he said to me, he said, "Man, you crazy to someone down for the people." I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know, guys, cats are down for, you know, cars and drug trips." And, you know, so you say, "I'm crazy to down for the people." So that was, I respect the principal position that it took. Yeah, I did not devalue, you know, again, the wish of his physical presence, you know what I'm saying? But again, I respect the principal stand, you know, and recognize he's going against all odds.
Thank you. And we've got a few more questions for you. We've got Latoya, who would like to ask you a question.
I would just like to know that after the movie airs, what kind of reaction would you like to see happen from this? What kind of uprise or, you know, presence would the Black Panther Party have now after hearing the story and what your family went through?
Ideally, everybody get up and say, you know, we ready to get involved in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? What can we do? I'm a realist. To at least at minimum acknowledge that, you know, as we say, the Cubs are coming, the Black Panther Party Cubs are here. This, you know, we struggled at the end of the movie to have some actual footage of the programs the Black Panther Party Cubs have been engaging in for over two decades, the work that we're doing. We think it's important that people do not wait till it becomes a safe subject, you know what I'm saying, that we don't, you know, to say, okay, let's acknowledge it. What I mean to say by safe subject, they had Muhammad Ali on the Wheaties box in the late 80s. And the guy said, "Why would you put Muhammad Ali on the Wheaties box now?" And the representative of Wheaties said, "We're going to do it now because he's safe." You know, the organization I represent, we're like the last call for alcohol. People relate to us as they've exhausted all other, you know, means. So, again, just to, you know, I at the funeral service of Stanley Tookie Williams, co-founder of the Crips, we had left to did a repass, a community repass. In Lemur Park, and I said something to the effect that Tookie Williams grew up in a climate like I grew up in, deprived of the Black Panther Party, where the only options in life were either become a Boy Scout or a banger. I said, never again on our watch. So at minimum, it's acknowledged that there is a revolutionary organization that is fighting for liberation of our people right here amongst us.
All right, we've got some young people in the audience. Jay and Tyra have a question.
Hello. My question is, the events of the end of the movie, it was really like spine chilling to me. But do you think it was told the, you know, exact same way emotionally and, like, you know, physically as your mother told you?
They had said that it was some groundbreaking technology they had used, and even the film and how it, you know, covered over the top. There was struggles, you know. And people say, "Well, you think it's going to tell the exact details? Can we really understand who Chairman Fred was? How the assassination occurred?" You know, the reality is, you can't put a shark in a fish tank. You know, there are certain details and dynamics, such as that William O'Neal was not the only agent of Bob Couture, that cannot be expressed in a small period of time, nor over the big to actually what occurred that night. Details such as the YMCA sending a group of young brothers who did unofficial security for Chairman Fred out of town on one retreat. The government had a floor plan so detailed they even knew what pack of cigarettes might likely be at inside the apartment. So it's upon us to, you know, send up to Andy with the conversation.
All right. And then Tara?
I was wondering, how did you guys find out that, like, the other Black Panthers were, like, being, like, killed by the government?
This the Black Panther Party, amongst this apparatus, has had the Black Panther Party intercommunal newspaper, in which, you know, gave updates what was going on, not only throughout the various chapters, throughout the country, throughout the world. And even though this was before cell phones and social media, the communication was there. People would be surprised on what we're capable of doing. In 1800s, David Walker had authored a piece called David Walker's Appeal. And they used the sailors, you know, so when they were shipping, they would be moving, commuting, going one place to another. They would pass it to each other. So we have to be innovative in our ways, once recognized that we at war and we under attack, that ups the ante for ways of communication disseminating information. But again, what was going on with the Panther Party, it was a common conversation at that time period.
All right. We've got one last question for you, Chairman Fred. We really appreciate your time this evening. And this is Georgia asking this question.
I want to know what things steps you guys are taking to do different for people who be abused for giving information, like the guy in the movie.
The informant, saying O'Neal.
What was the beginning of the question again?
The
first part of the question?
Like the guy and the informant in the movie. I want to know, like, if it was somebody that was in the Panther Party that the authorities came to that they was abusing to get information. What are you guys doing different to help find that out? You know, like the abuse and things like that.
So basically, you're asking what's done in organizations, initiatives, etc., where you can spot an informant.
Yeah. And then that the authorities give, like, you know, they threaten to put them in jail or do whatever, or harm them. What are you guys doing now to kind of spot that? And
how do you recognize an informant? No, you're fine. You're fine. How do you, Chairman Fred, in your opinion, how is an informant better recognized?
The work. In fact, I think O'Neal has said this actual individual, William O'Neal, how they had him working, you know. And, I think Chairman Fred says to the effect that they're going to be called to the headquarters saying, look, could you transfer me up out of here? These guys got me doing it. They got me working. You know what I'm saying? We were hiding the contradictions. So you... through the struggle, through work, you find out who is not only who other people are, you find out who you yourself are. You know, when I was in prison, one of the best cellmates I ever had was Chairman Fred Hunter Jr. I studied myself through the contested conditions. I watched me through the hunger strikes. So the work we watch. Why is this person always slacking up? So that's the best resume right there. The work to continue to organize people and it shows up or helps shine the light on who is who and who's not who.
That's a great answer. I like that. You said the what did he say? The best student he had was Fred Hampton Jr. And then we've got one last question for you, brother, from Tamia.
Okay, so I know that you had the lawsuit, and obviously it was pennies on the dollar the way that you were compensated. But because they actually acknowledged your lawsuit, that means that they acknowledged that they were in the wrong. Were the people involved ever prosecuted? Was there anything ever against them?
no criminal charges. You know, we still, you know, you might go, you know, on YouTube and see we had to go, you know, take up a few of their funeral services and show our disrespects. But there was no criminal charges. In fact, many of them were elevated to higher careers. You may have heard about infamous Lieutenant John Birds, electric shocking of brothers on their sex organs, their private parts. Joe Machine Gun Gorman got his nickname December 4th, 1969, from him coming in the way he had the machine gun and what's that. So many of them you can trace their careers are elevated due to what they, you know, the role they played, assassination of General Fred and the of Mark Clark.
Okay, and furthermore, since this has happened and now that people know about it, do you think that events like this still happen and that it's just more covered up, or do you think that there has been any type of reformation?
It continues to happen. This is the modus operandi. It continues to happen. This is the modus operandi. This is the MO of this system. This is the country in which the police are birthed off of catching runaway slaves. So it's the norm. So again, we get heightened contradictions, so people can see. But no, this is the norm how this system operates historically with our people.
He said it's the norm. It's the MO. Not much has changed in that regard. Hey, brother, thank you so much. We appreciate you so much.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you. Thank y'all. Look forward to getting that way. Revolutionary love and appreciation.
Can you just, as we close, can you just share a little bit about SaveTheHamptonHouse.com?
The childhood home in which Chairman Fred Hampton grew up in. The home in which the federal government put a wiretap on the telephone. He's 13, 14 years old. This is not only a museum, but a community resource center where people can come get the survival needs. We have every Saturday triple C's Children Community Cubs done in the spirit of the Black Panther Party newspaper. We have the Free 'Em All radio we do every Wednesday, hosted by myself and Native Rage, done in the spirit of Black Panther Party information program, the newspaper. In fact, we say information is raw material for new ideas. So we they can go to GoFundMe.com/SaveTheHamptonHouse51. Also, Cash App, Save the Hampton House, and the PayPal, Chairman Fred Jr. @gmail.com via PayPal. And we say that Save the Hampton House is bigger than the building, more significant than the structure.
All right, man. We appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We wish you all the best at SaveTheHamptonHouse.com. The one and only Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. Thank you.
The website is SaveTheHamptonHouse.org.
.org.
.org, yes, sir.
SaveTheHamptonHouse.org. Check it out. Thank you, sir. Brother. Appreciate
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. If you want to see the questions, the Q&A, the talk back again, go to 103.7 The Beat on Facebook, and you'll see yourselves and the questions and the answers. Thank you so much. Thank you to Kaya's Flavor, our sponsor this evening. Thank you to 103.7 The Beat and the Cinema Carousel. Thank you. Good night.